of listening to my mother and following her advice. I thanked Lil. Guess the result. Right. Every Christmas and every birthday from then on, I got a fucking boring book from my fucking boring aunt fucking boring Lil. First buses, then airplanes, then trucks, then cars, and on through the years until she ran out of conveyances and had to switch to buildings. I weep when I think of all the soldiers I could have had. Probably a battalion or two. Ah, well. I realize the problem now. I was too young to have learned the following sentence. Hey, Lil, take your fucking railroad book and stick it up your ass and get me some goddamn soldiers. That would have nipped the whole thing in the bud. Does anybody really listen to that shitty music they play on the radio? FM radio music? What's it called? Adult contemporary? Classic rock? Urban rhythm and blues? You know what the official business name for that shit is? Corporate standardized programming. Just what an art form needs. Corporate standardized programming. Derived from scientific surveys conducted by soulless businessmen. Here's how bad it is. One nationwide chain that owns over 1,000 radio stations conducts weekly telephone polls asking listeners their opinions on 25 to 30 song hooks they play over the phone. Hooks that the radio people have already selected. Hooks are the short, repeated parts of pop songs that people remember easily. Depending on these polls, the radio chain decides which songs to place on their station's playlists. Weeks later, they record the hooks of all the songs they're currently playing on their stations across the country, label them by title and artist, and sell that information to record companies to help create more of the same bad music. They also sell the information to competing radio stations that want to play what the big chain is playing. All of this is done to prevent the possibility of original thinking somehow creeping into the system. Let me tell you something. In the first place, listening to music someone else has picked out is not my idea of a good time. Second, and more important, the fact that a lot of people in America actually like the music automatically means it sucks, especially since the people who like it have been told in advance by businessmen what it is they're supposed to like. Please save me from people who've been told what to like and then like it. In my opinion, if you're over 6 years of age and you're still getting your music from the radio, something is desperately wrong with you. I can only hope that somehow MP3 players and file sharing will destroy FM radio the way they're destroying record companies. Then, even though the air will probably never be safe to breathe again, maybe it will be safer to listen to. What is the purpose of having a person sign the Star Spangled Banner? Don't deaf people know the words by now? Besides, signing can't possibly convey the exact personalized musical rendition the singer may be offering. How could a signer ever convey to a deaf person the elaborate note-bending vocal gymnastics that black female singers put the anthem through, especially those last few lines, or the land of the free and the home of the brave, which sometimes can take more than 6 or 7 minutes to complete? Why, I should think a signer would break an arm trying to get that stuff across. Besides, what does the national anthem have to do with sports in the first place? I never understood that. Play ball. During the Middle Ages, it seems as though every castle had a group of trumpet players who stood in a line and played loud, intricate fanfares whenever something important happened. And it occurred to me that occasionally those guys must have needed to practice. You know, fanfare practice, 3 o'clock near the moat. It could be any number of reasons. New guys in the group, new fanfares, the brand new trumpets came in. So I'm wondering, when these guys did hold practice, and they kept playing the fanfares over and over, were the people working around the castle required to constantly keep snapping to attention? Did maybe some of them do it anyway, out of force of habit? Or did everyone pretty much ignore the fanfare since they knew it was really only practice? And if so, at a time like that, when everyone had been lulled into a false sense of security, what if the king decided to walk across the yard to visit his sister in the dungeon, and they blew a fanfare for him? Half the people would probably just keep on working. Would that piss him off, or would he understand? And what about coming to attention practice? Seems like fanfare practice would be a perfect time to hold it. You know, kill two birds... Ah, fuck it. These are the sort of thoughts that hold me back in life.